Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Playing Dirty by Tess Summers, narrated by Anastasia Whatley and J.F. Harding. Prologue. Cassie. I'd love to take you out for a drink sometime. They had just taken their seat at the restaurant bar when Dr. Rob Bennett made his declaration, his green eyes twinkling. The good-looking orthopedic surgeon zoned in on Cassie Sullivan the minute she walked through the doors, approaching with a glass of white wine for her already in hand and a cocky smile on his lips that grew even bigger when she accepted the drink. Rob's charm and confidence were working for him. The petite dark blonde found herself glad she hadn't bowed out of the Monday evening mixer her pharmaceutical company was sponsoring like she'd originally planned. Sure. Cassie smiled. Just say when. She wasn't the pharma rep for Rob's practice, so she didn't see a conflict going out with him. When? She laughed out loud, fidgeting with the stem on her wine glass. Could you be more specific? How about Friday night? We can meet at Oakwood for their Friday whiskey flights and wings. Whiskey and wings on a Friday night? What could possibly go wrong? Except wake up hungover sans panties Saturday. That sounds like fun. What time? His obviously groomed eyebrows drew together like he suddenly remembered something, and he shifted uncomfortably on the bar stool. How about 7? If she were gracious, she'd make an excuse and say Friday wouldn't work after all. Except she wasn't gracious. He shouldn't have suggested it if he didn't mean it. Besides, maybe he was going to reschedule whatever he obviously already had planned. He texted her Tuesday night, flirting a little, but making no mention of meeting Friday. Same when they communicated on Wednesday, although he amped up his flirting, which she didn't exactly discourage. Rob was her textbook type, athletic build, not too tall but not too short, successful and driven, probably making as much money as she did, and green eyes. Green eyes were her kryptonite. Thursday found him casting his line to send a dick pic, but she didn't bite. What was it with men's fascination with photographing their junk and wanting to show it off? Yet still no mention of their whiskey and wings date, so she wasn't surprised when she got a text from him Friday afternoon. Rob B., I'm so sorry. I forgot my buddies bought me baseball tickets for tonight. Maybe we could have lunch tomorrow. There were 3 things about the message that pissed her off. 1, she knew he'd remembered he had plans the night he asked her out. So, 2, why did he wait until the last minute to cancel? Was he waiting to see how easy she was before deciding which plans to go with? And 3, lunch? Really? He wants to have lunch now? On a Saturday, instead of taking her out Saturday night. Fuck that. She didn't care how good-looking he was or how green his eyes were. You take the B team to lunch. You take the A team out on a Saturday night. She was fucking A team material, damn it. She replied, "Sorry, can't. Have plans." Rob B., brunch on Sunday? Hey, Dr. Asshat, eat a dick. She hit the backspace before the send button and took the more polite route. Cassie. No, busy. Maybe next time. Rob B. When are you available? She was sure he had better plans on Saturday night and couldn't wait to hear his excuse. Cassie. Saturday night. Rob B. Great. How about 7 o'clock again, same place? Color her surprised. Cassie. Sounds great. See you then. Cassie's heels echoed off the wooden floors as she walked into Oakwood's bar area at 7:15. She had sent Rob a text to let him know she was running behind so she'd meet him in the bar. Looking at the mostly empty tables, he was nowhere to be found. He had responded it wasn't a problem she was going to be late, so she didn't think he would have just left. She walked up to the old-fashioned bar, The kind you'd see in a Western movie, complete with a bar-length mirror hanging behind it, and climbed onto a heavy wooden bar stool. Maybe he's in the restroom. A perky red-headed bartender bounced over with a smile and asked what she'd like to drink. "I'll have a Crown and Ginger, tall, please." As the woman gathered the ingredients on the other side of the counter, Cassie nervously traced her fingers on the scuffed mahogany while swiveling her seat back and forth. When the frosted bar glass was placed in front of her, Cassie jabbed the skinny red straw in the ice. There wasn't a guy here waiting for someone, was there? About 5'11", athletic build, light brown hair, nice looking. The bartender shook her head, swishing her red ponytail back and forth. "Sorry, hon, no one." The drink was stronger than Cassie had anticipated, so she tried to nurse it, checking her phone what seemed like every 2 minutes while perusing the walls adorned with memorabilia of famous people who'd visited the bar. When she'd almost finished her cocktail and run out of things to pretend to be interested in looking at, there was still no sign or word from Rob. The memory of the time her sister, Brenna, had been stood up flashed to the forefront of her mind. Granted, Brenna being stood up made it in the out-and-about section of the paper, so at least there was the consolation of only the bartender knowing Cassie had been stood up and not all of San Diego. Taking out her phone, she fired off a message. "Almost done with my drink. Shouldn't I just go?" She'd give him 5 minutes to respond, then she was leaving if he didn't. He immediately sent back a cryptic text. "Rob B. Be there soon." What the hell? Red eyed her near-empty glass and asked if she wanted another. "I'm not sure." The woman gave a sympathetic smile. "What time was he supposed to be here?" Cassie hesitated, then overshared. 7, but I texted to let him know I was going to be late. He said that was fine, but made no mention of being late himself. Red glanced at her watch and scrunched up her freckled nose. "Well, it's 7:50 now, hon." She might have sensed Cassie's indecision about what to do next because she said, "I've got to grab a case of beer from the cooler, so no rush. Be right back." The woman disappeared around the corner, and Cassie twisted in her seat, scanning the tables one last time before making up her mind she was out of there as soon as she could pay for her drink. She heard the bartender say from around the corner, "Hey, haven't seen you in a while." And a deep male voice she recognized as Rob's respond, "Hey, Celeste, just meeting a friend." Rob came around the corner, looking hot in spite of his casual shorts, flip-flops, wrinkled tee, and a baseball cap on backward. His appearance was a stark contrast to Cassie's high heels and perfectly pressed sundress, the dress she'd spent 20 minutes agonizing over before deciding to wear. Red rounded the corner with a case of beer in her hands and motioned toward Rob with her head. "This who you've been waiting for?" Cassie gave a meager smile when she nodded and felt oddly uncomfortable when the woman rolled her eyes at Rob with a smirk. "Figures." Celeste, Cassie assumed was her name since that's what she'd heard Rob call her, suddenly seemed less friendly toward Cassie when she took Rob's drink order, all but ignoring the pharmaceuticals rep now. "How's Lauren?" the woman asked him, making sure to lean forward to show her ample cleavage while scooping ice for his drink. "We broke up." The barmaid eyed Cassie. "I wondered. Sorry to hear that." She proceeded to go down memory lane with him, leaving Cassie feeling like a third wheel. Apparently, the two went way back to his college days. To Rob's credit, he really tried to include Cassie in the conversation, but between him canceling on her last minute yesterday, making her wait tonight for over 30 minutes with no explanation offered, and the reunion tour of memories with the Little Mermaid stand-in behind the bar, Cassie was done. "Hey, I need to close out my tab," she called out to Celeste as the woman made a drink for another customer. Rob spun on his bar stool to face her. "I just got here." "Yes, I know," she said with a fake smile. She didn't try to disguise how she felt about that, although she passive-aggressively pretended to. "I have some things I need to take care of. I could have taken care of them earlier had I known we weren't really meeting until 8. He stood, pulled a money clip from his front pocket and threw 2 20s on the bar, still offering no reason why he was late.
Let me walk you to your car, at least.
No, you stay and enjoy your drink, Cassie smirked. I'm sure you still have lots of catching up to do. He shook his head and guided her by the elbow to the door without a second glance at the bartender.
I'm sorry about Celeste. We used to work together a long time ago.
I gathered that. They started toward the parking lot, and Cassie noticed a group of women in standard little black dresses prancing up the sidewalk toward the bar, not so subtly eye him up and down. She didn't blame them. He was good-looking. And successful. If he was good in bed, that'd pretty much be her trifecta. But she got the feeling he was playing her for a fool about why he couldn't make it last night. And why was he so late tonight? Why didn't he tell her he was going to be late as well when she texted him she was going to be? It was on the tip of her tongue to ask when she realized she really didn't give a shit. Opening the driver's door on her red Lexus LS460, she tilted her head towards him. Thanks for the drink, Rob. Have a great night, she said, and slid onto the tan leather seat. With his hands on the steel frame, he leaned down before she could close the door. His brown novelty t-shirt pulled tight at the chest, and she caught a whiff of his expensive cologne. Come on, let me take you somewhere else. I feel like we've gotten off on the wrong foot. Cassie stared at him while contemplating her next move. He smiled and with a wink mouthed, Please. His lips were really suckable when he pouted, and those fucking green eyes mesmerized her. Snapping out of it, she asked sweetly, How was the game? He furrowed his brow. Oh, it was good. Which game was it again? He'd recovered from his faux pas and didn't miss a beat this time.
The Padres.
Not many people knew Danny Roberts, second baseman for the Padres, was her brother-in-law for almost 20 years before he was killed in a car accident. Cassie still followed the team closely, so she knew they were in San Francisco last night. It wasn't impossible he'd traveled the 500 miles to the game. Looking at his handsome face and muscular arms, she was trying to convince herself he had, until he added,
Ortiz pitched a hell of a game. We should have won.
Unfortunately for him, Cassie knew Michael Ortiz was scheduled to pitch tonight after a last-minute roster change yesterday, and they went through 6 pitchers last night trying to find a rhythm. Rob must have missed those little tidbits when he saw the score this morning. He probably never in a million years thought the dark blonde followed baseball anyway. She pointed her finger upward in an aha manner, then started her sedan. I have an idea where we can go. He stood up straighter, waiting to hear her suggestion, and she took the opportunity to close the door. Rolling her window down, she gave him a sweet smile. Well, where you can go anyway. He blinked at her, not understanding. For the record, Vaughn, Harris, Taylor, Dorn, and Serrano all pitched like shit last night. The only one who was worth a damn was Cloney, and he was in a no-win situation by the time he took the mound. Ortiz pitches tonight. She started to roll her window up, but paused for a second to add, And Rob Bennett, you're a fucking asshole. She shifted her car into drive and drove off without looking back. Next. Chapter 1. Cassie. Cassie finished her walk down the makeshift aisle in the sand and turned to watch her older sister Brenna make her way to where an anxious Lieutenant General of the United States Marine Corps, Ron Thompson, stood in his dress blues, waiting for his bride. She chuckled, thinking of the fuss Ron made when Brenna insisted on a semi-traditional ceremony, whining he'd have to wear his uniform. Watching Ron's face when her sister appeared on the aisle brought tears to her eyes. As he fidgeted while Brenna approached, there wasn't a thought in Cassie's head that Ron was nervous he was getting married. No, he was just in a hurry to get his ring on Brenna's finger and make her his forever. The way Ron looked at her sister, it was obvious she was the only woman in his world who existed. The minister hadn't finished giving the instruction for Ron to kiss his bride when he had Brenna's face in his hands, staring into her eyes, then kissing her with such passion Cassie's knees went weak. Damn. She glanced over at Ron's handsome younger brother and best man, Greg, in his tan suit and turquoise tie that matched Cassie's gown, and wondered if he'd kiss like that. Maybe. When he smirked, winked at his date who was sitting three rows back and she blushed, Cassie knew there was no maybe about it. Too bad he was already spoken for. Cassie gave Brenna the cascading white and turquoise calla lily bouquet she was holding as part of her maid of honor duties, then took Greg's offered arm to be escorted down the aisle behind the bride and groom. The other bridesmaid, Brenna's daughter, Danielle, had healed nicely from her horrible car accident in May, and was accompanied by Kyle Montgomery, the girl's godfather and best friend of Brenna's first husband, Danny. Kyle's involvement in the wedding was all very soap opera-esque, something Cassie secretly loved. It was fun watching people who usually had a stick up their ass try not to appear scandalized when Kyle made his appearance at the pre-wedding festivities. Her parents, however, didn't bat an eye, which made sense since Kyle was such an intricate part of their lives, both when Danny was alive and maybe even more so once he was killed. Kyle had really stepped up to fulfill his role as godfather after his best friend died, something Cassie appreciated and loved him for. It was an intimate wedding held outside of Brenna and now Ron's San Diego beach house, so they didn't have far to go on the short, flower-covered runner. She smiled and squeezed Greg's arm before releasing it so he could walk back toward the guests and, presumably, his lucky date. The reception was being hosted on the patio, and Cassie had started making her way to the bar when Cooper Johnson stopped her. He was stationed at Ron's base, and if Ron's promotion ceremony pictures were accurate, the man could rock a uniform like nobody's business. But his more casual attire for the beach wedding worked, too. "Cassandra, you look beautiful." "Cooper, call me Cassie, please. Cassandra is just so formal."
"I think it fits you. It's elegant, classy."
It was all she could do not to snort out a laugh. She was many things. Spunky, cute, a spitfire, a little mouthy, perhaps. But classy and elegant were not words she would ever use to describe herself. Still, she knew how to be professional and was damn good at her job as a pharmaceutical rep, so she was comfortable in her skin. Patting his cheek with her manicured hand, she smiled. "Aw, aren't you sweet? You obviously don't know me very well, but thank you." He leaned down and pressed his lips against her ear.
"And how do I remedy that?"
Goosebumps ran down her spine, and she felt her nipples harden. Cassie searched his twinkling eyes as he pulled away from her. Was her mouth open? It might have been, because he was smirking at her. Brenna had told her Cooper insisted on getting Cassie's phone number right after a charity event they had all attended. He'd spent time at their table, and the two of them hit it off. She had thought like buddies. Although, there was no denying he was handsome. His dirty blonde hair with natural highlights and blue eyes screamed he was a California boy through and through. His tall, tan, athletic body could easily be mistaken for a surfer's, not a marine captain's. Hell, he probably did spend time on a board catching waves. The toothpaste commercial smile was just the icing on the cake. The night of the charity auction, Cassie only had eyes for SWAT Sergeant Luke Revis. So when Brenna told Cassie about Cooper's interest, she was certain Brenna had misunderstood, especially since he never actually called her. Now she wasn't so sure.
"Save me a dance," he said with a wink,
then looked over her shoulder and straightened, taking a step back. Luke appeared at her side and offered Cooper a smile and a handshake.
"Johnson, haven't seen you since the auction. Anything ever become of that date?"
Cooper glanced over at Cassie when he answered,
"Nah, we couldn't all be as lucky as you."
Her gaze went to the ground. Luke and Cooper had both auctioned themselves off at the Heroes of San Diego's charity auction last month, and she knew he was referring to the fact Cassie had bid on and won Luke's date for $500, a date that still hadn't taken place.
I was pretty lucky, wasn't I?
Luke grinned, pinning Cassie with his gaze. Really? He thought he was lucky? He sure has a funny way of showing it. The smile on Cooper's face didn't reach his eyes when he said solemnly,
"You were indeed."
Before turning on his heel, Cooper winked at Cassie and teased,
"Make sure to save that dance for me."
At least she thought he was teasing. A contemplative look crossed Luke's features as they watched Cooper walk off. He turned back to Cassie, a smile on his face and crinkle lines around his eyes. Green eyes.
"How have you been?"
he asked, gesturing for them to continue toward the house. "I've been good. Busy. How about you?"
"The same."
He chuckled.
She wasn't sure what to say or how to act since she didn't know how he felt about her. Should she flirt or be the polite maid of honor and make insignificant chit-chat while acting indifferent? She was interested in him, but got the impression his feelings toward her were tepid, and a girl had her pride.
The awkward silence as they walked along the sand was finally broken when he quietly said,
"You look really beautiful."
Cassie glanced up at him with a surprised smile. "Thank you. You look nice, too." She wasn't lying. He was classically handsome, in a Latin lover kind of way, and like he belonged on the beach in his khakis and blue linen popover shirt that showed off his tan. They made it to the back patio, where people were mingling and enjoying cocktails as the caterer set up for dinner. Taking in the scene, they watched an elated Brenna and Ron greet their guests under the twinkling lights strategically strung around the bricked pavers.
"I don't think I've ever seen a couple better suited for each other,"
he observed. "They do bring out the best in one another," Cassie nodded.
"Being in love tends to do that to you."
She looked up at him and tilted her head. "It seems like you're speaking from experience." Luke gave a whimsical smile.
"I'm just observant."
"So you've never been in love like that?" He answered her question with a question.
"Have you?"
"I asked you first." There was a long pause while he considered his answer.
"I thought maybe I was once. Turns out I wasn't."
"Sounds like there's a story behind that." She was trying to draw more out, but he quickly shut her down. With narrowed eyes, he shook his head.
"It's in the past."
Then pressed the small of her back, urging her forward, letting her know that topic was closed. She was intrigued, and Luke not wanting to talk about it only made her want to talk about it more. She was obnoxious like that. "So what do you want to talk about?" she asked when they reached the back of the long line for the open bar. "Our date that's never going to happen?" He raised an eyebrow.
"And why isn't it ever going to happen?"
"I don't know. You tell me." Cassie shrugged. "You haven't exactly been in a hurry to schedule it."
"Well,"
he smirked,
"I've been waiting for you to call me, doll."
She opened her mouth, then closed it again with a frown. Why should she have to call him? As if reading her mind, he continued in a gentle tone.
"The auction winner is supposed to make the first call. She's provided with her date's contact information, but not vice versa. The committee wanted the ladies to feel comfortable providing as much or as little information about themselves as they wanted. The instructions were in your winner's packet."
Thinking about how annoyed she'd been he hadn't called, she felt a little silly and wanted to save some of her dignity. "Well, last I checked, you already have my number, unless you deleted it."
"Of course I didn't delete it."
The thought seemed to surprise him.
"I just thought I should wait to hear from you. I knew things with the wedding had to be keeping you busy, and given how last time..."
Just then, someone tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned to find a few people from the fundraising committee for the Wounded Warrior Project. Given how last time what? How nothing ever happened, even though the one kiss they shared was the kind of kiss romance novels were written about? Given how he blew her off repeatedly, even though he acted interested? "Saved by the bell," she murmured, as he excused himself to step out of line and talk with the group. When Luke hadn't called after the charity auction, she honestly thought he still wasn't interested in her, that the chemistry they seemed to share had all been in her head, or the result of too much alcohol. Granted, she knew he'd honor the charity auction date, eventually. She just assumed it would be obvious he meant it to be strictly platonic. Now she allowed herself to feel the excitement she'd felt the night she bought his date. Maybe he was interested in her after all. Once she got to the front of the line, she ordered a glass of white wine. While waiting for the bartender to return with her order, Cassie felt herself physically relax. They'd pulled it off. A wedding and reception planned and completed in a month. It helped her sister had some pretty good connections. Being a famous screenwriter did have its perks. But the two of them, along with Marlene, the jittery wedding planner, had organized, prepared, and executed a gorgeous wedding in less than 5 weeks' time. A wedding her sister so rightly deserved.
"Fancy meeting you here."
Cooper appeared beside her with a grin. "Small world." She smiled brightly at him. "Did you cut in line?"
"Maybe we're just like-minded. And do I look like the kind of guy who would cut in line?"
"That's a scary thought," she teased. "And yes, you do look like the kind of guy who would cut in line."
He clutched his chest as if her words wounded him, then quickly recovered when the bartender appeared, motioning he'd have one of the scotch currently being poured.
He turned back toward her, chewing on a black stirrer straw he'd snagged from the cup full of them behind the bar.
"What's a scary thought? That you'd think like I do, or that I'd think like you?"
"I haven't decided yet." She gave a small smirk and looked up at him through her eyelashes. That caused him to break out into a big, perfect smile.
"Let me know when you do."
"You'll be the first to know," she bantered back. They got their drinks at the same time, and Cooper clinked his glass against hers.
"To the most beautiful maid of honor."
"Who didn't trip going down the aisle," she added.
"Were you worried?"
"Oh, yeah, I'm a klutz." She picked up her chiffon dress to reveal her pink pedicure with no shoes. "I think that was part of the reason Brenna wanted us barefoot. It would lessen my risk of falling down and embarrassing her."
"I thought you seemed smaller."
"Yep," Cassie nodded. "I had some pretty high heels on the last time I saw you."
"Yeah, I noticed."
There was no mistaking the naughty look in his eyes. She gave a knowing wink and promised, "I'll have shoes on when we dance later," then turned to go mingle with the other guests.
Chapter 2. Luke. Brenna was a beautiful bride. Not only was she hot as hell to look at, but she was a beautiful person on the inside. Ron was one lucky bastard. Cassie was the younger version of Brenna, minus the polish, and he loved that. He liked that she wasn't afraid to say fuck out loud or tell him exactly what she was thinking. That made her even more attractive as far as he was concerned. He'd been looking forward to going out with her and was disappointed when she didn't reach out to arrange a time for their auction date, assuming she'd had a change of heart. He would have deserved that, in the most ironic way. When she appeared at the beginning of the wedding to walk down the aisle, he was taken aback at how stunning she looked. He knew she was gorgeous, but damn, today she was downright mesmerizing. From her blonde hair, styled in an updo, with wispy hairs framing her heart-shaped face, to her baby blues, today the color of the ocean right after a storm. Her turquoise dress hugged her tight body, and her makeup was more dramatic than he'd ever seen before. He couldn't take his eyes off her the entire ceremony. Apparently, he wasn't alone in that regard. The fact he was jealous surprised him. He didn't usually get jealous. He'd always been the type to go after what he wanted and get it, with the one exception, so he never begrudged other people when they did the same. He actually respected it. Not this fucking time, though. He'd play dirty this time if he had to. Maybe he was more ready for this date than he thought. When his work phone started to ring.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?